Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, ever.
Kayla's in the building.
Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams. We got a great episode for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit about that Monday night football game, 49ers versus Browns. The Browns did nothing to help us other than set up a wonderful matchup on Sunday, Rams versus 49ers. We're going to talk about that. We're going to hear from Coach McVay today as he kind of answers some questions about what it's like to prepare for a team as you watch him on Monday night. Some injury updates. We're going to talk a little bit more about the running game, and we're just going to break down a little bit further about that Monday night game and what it looked like for us. And we saw some people on social media start to get a little scared as they started to see this 49ers team and maybe start to think they're a little bit more legit than maybe what we thought coming into this. They are now 4-0. They're ahead of the division. Then it goes to the Seattle Seahawks right there with 4-1. Obviously, the Niners had that early bye, but still undefeated. Puts them up there on top. And then the Rams, 3-2. Started out the season 3-0. Lost two consecutive games. That's where we sit now. We're going to break it all down today. We've got a great episode for you guys. Don't forget, if you live in the Southern California, LA area, head over to the Del Amo Fashion Mall here in Torrance, California. Go to ProVinch Sports. Enter your chance to win a free $150 Eric Dickerson throwback jersey. We're going to release the winner potentially on Thursday. If they find out on Thursday, it may be on the Friday show. They're going to let me know, I believe, on Thursday. But you guys know I always record the night before. So most likely on that Friday edition, you'll hear the winner. But either way, tune in. If you went to the store, bring your friends, get everyone to throw in a name for you. Double up your chances for winning. Again, that is the Pro Image Sports at the Del Amo Fashion Center Mall here in Torrance, California. All my homies around the country, I gotcha. We'll get something else for you. I know this is a local competition. I know I got listeners from Germany, from Australia, from New Zealand, from the East Coast, here in the West Coast, up in Seattle in enemy territory. So we will make sure we continue to get you guys some cool stuff. And we appreciate you guys for listening. Don't forget to go give us a follow on social media, Lockdown Rams. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LA_RamblingBears, the personal, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Himalaya. That's where you can find us. Hit the subscribe button. Leave a 5-star review. We appreciate all the love from you guys. We appreciate you listening every day, 5 days a week. Your team, every day, only on the Lockdown Podcast Network. But with that, we are off and running on the Tuesday edition, so we're going to kick right into it. I'm Bear Motter of Lockdown Rams, and this is your lead story. We saw on Monday night the San Francisco 49ers went to 4-0 as they defeated the Cleveland Browns on Monday Night Football 31-3. This was an old-fashioned smackdown. The San Francisco 49ers forced 4 turnovers in this game. 2 Baker Mayfield interceptions. He had a fumble. Odell Beckham had a fumble. They were off rhythm from the get-go. This 49ers defense looks real good. Their offense was clicking. They opened up on their offense with a 83-yard Matt Breida touchdown. He had 11 carries for 114 yards of touchdown. Tevin Coleman had 16 carries, 97 yards. As a unit, they had 275 yards on the ground. Jimmy G was extremely effective, 20 of 29, 181 yards. They didn't need much from him, but he pitched in with 2 touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 108. And you may be asking yourself, why are we talking about the San Francisco 49ers on Locked On Rams? Well, that is the matchup of the week, and it is a big one. The Rams, as we have mentioned, obviously 3-2, facing up against the 4-0 49ers. This is going to be a big game, and we're going to get to it a lot on this episode. This is the third time this year that the Rams have sat at home and watched Monday Night Football, knowing one of the opponents we're watching is who we are facing that next week. The Rams so far in those games are 2-0. We beat the Saints after watching them on Monday Night Football, and then we went and beat those Cleveland Browns after watching them on Monday Night Football. We played them on Sunday Night Football. Let's see if we can keep that streak going. 3-for-3, watching them on Monday, beating them the next Sunday. This is going to be a tough one. Sean McVay was asked in the press conference about that same fact. What's it like to sit there at home and watch these guys knowing that you're going to be playing them later that next week? Here's what Sean McVay had to say about watching that Monday Night Football game, knowing next week that's your opponent.
You know, I think it's another game that you really can use as an evaluation tool. And certain games based on the opponent can sometimes be more helpful than others in terms of the film evaluation based on, all right, how similar are some of the schemes? Are these some things that you would anticipate they would want to do to defend our offense or to attack our defense? So it really just depends on the opponent. But every single game, especially early on, when there are some tweaks and adjustments that teams inevitably make every single year, are very valuable teaching tools for us and evaluation tools to ultimately put together a game plan, especially when you're talking about they've only got three games of film. And, you know, tonight will represent the fourth for the 2019 season. And they've done an excellent job, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Interesting way of looking at it with Sean McVay talking about the 49ers and also seeing that they've only played four games this season. So every team has a different identity every time, every year. And even looking at the Rams, we're going to talk about their identity and that we are still trying to find this at this point. But interesting take as you're looking at that. I'm sure he watched the game once, already flipping it back around and starting it again here to kind of get a look at the 49ers. Their defense looked good. Their running game looked good. Those are two things that are kind of scary when you're coming into, you know, leading the league in turnovers as well as not getting the ground game going. We're going to discuss that a little bit more in this show, but we got some time to get ready for them. Yes, we have some injuries, but there was a 10-day gap. Sean McVay was asked about this extra bye week and if he thought it was an extra bye week and how that extra time, this 10 days, what did the team do? How were they able to use that to advantage? Here's Sean McVay talking about this gap in time, this mini bye week in the beginning of the season and how it really benefited them so far.
I think that's an appropriate way to put it. You know, wanted to give the guys a chance to get away. You could still work a little bit at home, but I also thought it was important for our coaches to kind of just decompress a little bit. You get a little bit of a jump on the 49ers. The challenge is they had their bye week. They've only played three games, and then, you know, you're waiting on their fourth game tonight. But I think it's a good opportunity for us to look inwardly, evaluate ourselves a little bit through the first five games, and then also just kind of catch your breath a little bit. So there is a good balance of getting away. So I just kind of relaxed at home with my fiance and dog and watched a little bit of football, did a little work here and there, but got some sleep and feeling rejuvenated and ready to go.
Rejuvenated and ready to go, that Sean McVay talking about this mini bye week, this 10 days we had from the Thursday night game all the way up here to next Sunday versus the San Francisco 49ers. It sounds like it was much needed. It's early in the season. We have a few more games here. We go overseas. We play the Cincinnati Bengals in London. We come back, have another bye week. So to be able to find this early in the year, and we talked about this in the offseason as we looked at the schedule once it was released, these Thursday night games are tricky. And really, in my opinion, you want them early in your season. Get them out of the way. We don't play on Thanksgiving, so we don't have to worry about another Thursday night game. Definitely makes for a tough turnaround as you're talking about a very physical game, then going back up to Seattle and having two games within 5 days. These guys did a great job on bouncing back. They couldn't pick up the win, but now they got this little mini bye, 10 days to get healthy. We're going to talk about the injury update on the other side because that is another thing that you got to look at, especially as you're looking from the week before. Taylor Rapp, Bryce Hager, where do they stand? We're going to talk about it on the other side. So what we're going to do is step aside, take a break, get a couple words from some of our sponsors. We'll be back Tuesday edition Lockdown Rams right after this. You guys know the deal. BlueChew.com is the place to go. It's going to help your performance in the bedroom. I know all the guys at home are going, I got this, I'm good. Well, you might not be, okay? This isn't for guys who can't perform. It is to increase your performance. So go to BlueChew.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to try it for just $5. There's so many awesome benefits of Blue Chew. It is a chewable, so it works up to twice as fast as the pill. It has the same active ingredients as Cialis and Viagra, so you know they work. You can take them on a full stomach, an empty stomach. It doesn't matter the time or day. It's also made here in the U.S. and ships direct, so no in-person doctor visits, no going to the pharmacy. Mr. Mater, your boner pills are ready. None of that. This ships discreetly to your door. And again, right now we have a special offer just for the Locked On listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. when you use a promo code Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, and the faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Second segment, Locked On Rams Tuesday, your team every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are breaking it all down today. We're going to really talk a lot about this Niners game versus the Browns. This is something that Sean McVay is in the lab right now, and he's got his little laser pointer and his coaches with him, and they're circling things, and they're making notes. They're getting ready, making adjustments. We're going to talk about what this Rams game plan is going to look like throughout this whole week. We'll talk about it. We got Jake Ellenbogen. We've got our crossover tomorrow with Brian Peacock. I'm so excited for that one. He's going to be in a great mood. We're going to talk about this divisional matchup game. And then we got Serena Morales to hype us up for Friday. It's going to be a great finish to this week. But Sean McVay, as we heard from earlier, spoke to the media today, and he kind of gave us an update. We know Clay Matthews broke his jaw, and the understanding is looking at roughly a month. Sean McVay kind of went into further details about that, saying that he got his jaw wired shut, which, by the way, I had a friend in high school that had this. It's not a pretty thing. And this was a big boy. This was actually when I was living up in Washington. It was one of the Seau family members. He played football for us up in Washington State. He had broke his jaw. And it's a big boy, like I'm talking about. And we're high school kids. And I remember we actually helped my mom move from one house to another. And she rewarded us and thanked us by feeding us, just like you do with any bunch of growing high school boys. We got like 10 pizzas. We had eight dudes or whatever. And there's this, you know, 300-pound Seau, and he's got his jaw wired shut. And he was drinking chicken noodle soup and eating the noodles through his jaw wired shut as we're eating pizza. I thought he was going to beat us all up, but we made it out alive. But that was one of the things that Sean McVay said is, like, this is a serious deal, right? The biggest thing that they're also going to have to worry about is him staying up nutrition-wise, that, like, they're going to have to figure out a way to keep his body running, that the rest of this body is going to be ready when he comes back. So that's going to be one of the things that the Rams are going to have to tackle, is not only like getting him cleared and having his jaw heal up, but when your jaw's healed up, you're like on a liquid diet. And if for a guy like Clay Matthews or any football player, that their intake in calories has just got to be out of this world, and what they're putting themselves through condition wise, it's going to be a challenge for these guys to, you know, make sure that they continue to, you know, get Clay what he needs. So when he does come back, when that jaw does heal up, that he will be ready physically, the rest of his body to go. Sean McVay kind of mentioned that in the press conference, but he said most likely, looking at the best case scenario, really is going to be after the bye week. That gets that extra week when we come back from London to really get everything finished up medically, get him ready to go. No need to really force this one back, especially where we are at with Clay. He's had an amazing year so far. It's a bummer, and he mentioned that it's a bummer that a guy that's been really balling out for us is going to be sitting out potentially about 4 to 6 weeks. But that means other guys are going to have to step up. And here's what Sean McVay said about the guys that are behind him and what we can expect from them and who's going to get the majority of the reps. But really, the opportunity is kind of wide open at this point.
Samson will be asked to step up. You know, he's played a lot of important snaps for us. He's a guy that we have a lot of confidence in. And then really it'll, you know, we'll have a chance to really get a chance to evaluate some of these younger players that might get a chance to play as well with a Natrez Patrick. Oboe will get a chance to step up. So as we put together the game plan, I think we'll get a little bit better feel. But Samson's a guy that's played a lot of valuable snaps for us, and he'll immediately step into that starter's role.
So as we predicted, Samson Ebukam will get the majority of the opportunity, but Natrez Patrick, Oboe Okoronkwo, those guys are going to have an opportunity, most likely will be on the active day game roster, be ready to have action, kind of rotate them in. Again, this was one of the storylines in the offseason, was our linebacker group, and really Clay Matthews was the big get for that group. Obviously, re-signing Dante Fowler, he mentioned him later in the press conference about needing him to step up as well, but this defense is going to have to find a way to fill in what Clay Matthews has been doing looking at that Thursday night. He had a great game. He's got 6 sacks in 5 games. He's got 17 total tackles so far this year. Yes, there's plays that you look at and maybe he's not in the right position and maybe he didn't make the play that time. But overall, what he's been able to bring and being able to finish plays, someone's got to do it. And who is that person stepping up? I'm really excited about those two names after Samson Ebukam, because we've seen what we know we can get from Ebukam. Maybe we see a little bit more of it with the extended time that he's going to be seeing on the field now. But Oboe Okoronkwo, who we've been talking about, free Oboe, excited to see that. And a Tris Patrick, a guy that balled out in the preseason, made this football team, made this roster. He made a lot of plays in the preseason. He was flying around. He was exciting to watch. So you never know what a player's going to do until they get that opportunity in live game in the NFL, in the regular season, or in the postseason. So although it can be a worry for this team right now, I think it's something that you never know what we're going to see on Sunday. But the defense has to step it up because right now our offense is still trying to find their identity. All right, before we get out of this segment, I want to continue to talk about the injury update. Sean McVay talked about it a little bit further. Taylor Rapp, Bryce Hager. Here's Sean McVay kind of rounding out the injury report to let us know where we stand.
Yeah, so Bryce is making really good progress. You know, he had some real positive, encouraging things in terms of just that nerve firing a little bit. So very optimistic. What does that exactly mean in terms of his availability this week? We won't quite know, but it is positive to see him turn the corner in terms of just some of the responses just based on what Reggie and his staff had kind of educated me on. And I think this was a turn that they were very optimistic about that he took for the better just in terms of some of the things that came out today. Taylor Rapp's right on track. He's feeling good. We expect him to be ready to go this week, and that's a positive for us.
Definitely a positive for us, as we just talked about losing Clay Matthews, and we still have Brandon Cooks in the concussion protocol. So to get guys like Bryce Hager back and hopefully Taylor Rapp back, which it sounds like both of them are on track to play this Sunday, and we won't know. Things might change throughout the week, and we may see that availability still be questionable coming into the game. But all signs point that those guys are going to get back on the field, which is needed. As we talked about this defense taking a big hit with Clay Matthews, love to see those guys get back on the field. And who would have thought at one point I was excited to see Bryce Hager get back on the field. But so far, he's had some really good performances. Even in the first couple weeks, he was a top-tier linebacker in Pro Football Focus's eyes. So if we can get back to him playing some really good football, any type of addition to this defense is much welcome, especially when you get these 49ers coming into town who just put up over 240-something rushing yards against the Cleveland Browns. So that is going to be an area of focus of stopping the run and, again, making Jimmy G beat you. He was very efficient on this Monday night, but if you put a lot more pressure on him and you don't allow him to work the play action and really have some time and be comfortable back there, and it was crazy. As they were talking about this game, they were saying, look at this Niners offensive attack. They're running the football hard. They're selling the play action, and Jimmy G's got all the time in the world back there, and he's executing, and he's, you know, throwing clear under with no pressure and delivering the football, and this offense was moving and looking good. And I was like, man, that's what they were saying about our Rams last year, right? We ran the football. We were a run-first football team. We came back with the play action, and then we went high flyer through the air. We were able to do it all last year. Our offense is still trying to find its identity, as I mentioned before, and we're going to talk about that on the next segment. We're going to hear from Sean McVay. What's up with the running game? What's up with this offense? And we're 5 weeks into the season still trying to figure out what we need to do. That's the biggest question. We'll talk about that on the other side. So first, we're going to step aside, get a couple words from some of our sponsors. You got to listen up, because coming up here is a great chance on how to win season tickets to the brand new stadium in 2020. My man, Dave Robles, is hooking you up. If you are buying or selling a house and you live in Southern California, you must hit up Dave Robles or go to DaveRobles.com. Dave is an LA native and knows the city in and out. He's an LA Rams fan. That should help. He's a really strong negotiator who understands how to get you a good deal on your home or top dollar for your current home if you're selling. He has excellent Yelp and Zillow reviews, so if you don't believe me, just go check those out. Again, check out that website, DaveRobles.com, or just call him, 213-712-4343. Again, you tell him you're from Locked On and you're going to buy or sell a house with him, he is going to get you 2020 season tickets to the Los Angeles Rams in the new stadium. If I were you, you're on that fence, go talk to the wife, go talk to the husband, let him know it is time to make a move. You can get season tickets as well as a great deal on your house. Call him for details, 213-712-4343, Dave Robles, the man, the myth, the Robles. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment, Locked On Rams Tuesday. Your team every day only on Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget to go give us a follow, Locked On Rams, LA underscore Rambling Bear on Twitter, and then Locked On Rams Instagram, Facebook group. It's really fun interacting with you guys. I always love to see me tagged in photos or in comments going around Twitter and Facebook, you guys coming and bringing the conversation in. So I really appreciate you guys for just what you guys do as far as participating, not only listening every day and having me just rant for about 30 minutes, bringing on some great guests and talking football, but really just kind of also participating. So thank you guys so much. I'm trying to do some great things with getting some really good sponsors that have great things like 2020 season tickets. So if you're buying or selling a house, I know you just heard that promotion, but man, that is, I'm really seriously talking to my girlfriend, like, can we somehow figure out a way to buy a house? Because 2020 season tickets, pretty awesome giveaway as far as participating with one of our sponsors. And then obviously Pro Image Sports, if you're here in the local area in Los Angeles, head over to the mall in Torrance at Del Amo Fashion Center. Pro Image Sports, you got to do just sign your name, throw it in the bucket there. You are entered to win a $150 throwback jersey, 1984 season of Eric Dickerson. It's a sweet jersey and it's free. All you got to do is write your name and get picked. So we love the stuff that's going on here. Hopefully we continue to get you guys some really cool stuff and reward you guys for being such great listeners. So I thank you once again. But again, looking back, the Monday night football game just ended about 30 minutes ago. I'm sitting here in the studio and I'm throwing it down and you know, I'm watching this game and I was pulling big for the Browns. I'm in a pick'em league with my girlfriend's family. It's, you know, winner gets like $80 every week or whatever it is if you win the week. We both needed the Browns to go and win the week and also to see, you know, some balance here in the NFC West and maybe not make this game on Sunday so stressful. But the 49ers looked good. Their defense, Joey Bosa, was all over the place. He did actually a pretty cool thing, and maybe some people won't think this is cool. And I really don't like any of the Bosas. And I think I even got his name wrong right there. I think it's Nick Bosa, not Joey Bosa. They're both from Ohio State. I've got a Michigan background, so I already don't like them. But Baker Mayfield a couple years ago planted the flag up at Ohio State. Bosa gets his first sack of the night, and he goes and plants his own a little imaginary flag, his little rebuttal to what happened when he was in college, even though it's kind of funny because Joey Bosa basically sat out most of his last year at Ohio State saying he didn't want to get injured or injured further and he was going to go enter the draft. So if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm like, dude, you never really had our back. And then, okay, whatever. But regardless, Bosa, Nick Bosa, not Joey Bosa, Nicky Bosa was all over the place. He had himself a couple sacks. He had a forced fumble. He had a fumble recovery. He is going to be a challenge for Whitworth coming off of that left side. Whitworth played one of his better games last game up in Seattle. I said it earlier this week. He had an 80-point-something pro football focus grade. It was the first time crossing into that 80 section this season. Hopefully he can build off that. He is going to have a tough challenge, but I'd rather see one of our big veterans have that opportunity. There is a question around Rams Nation going, is Whitworth losing a step right now? So far it looks that way, but this will be a big game for him, a big opportunity to go up against a rookie. Even though it's crazy, he's just a rookie, he is playing lights out football right now. He was a huge impact on this game. And then on the other side of the ball, George Kittle, talking about the run game that they have. But George Kittle, man, he had three or four catches that were on third down where he was about 3 yards short and slipped out of tackles, made the effort play, went and got the first down. George Kittle is not a guy that you can arm tackle. He proved it on Monday night. It was amazing to see his effort. He had 6 catches, 70 yards, 1 touchdown, 8 targets. Again, I talked about 3 or 4 of those were on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10. They went to him short. He made the play happen. From there, it was pretty spread out. As far as the pass attack, Marquise Goodwin, 3 catches. Kendrick Bourne, 2 catches. Kyle Juszczyk, 2 catches. He's their fullback. Actually, I think May left the game with a concussion. I think I saw him in the medical tent near the end. And then a couple other guys with some catches. Really spread out. 20 catches, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. But running the football, I mean, they had 2 guys almost near 100 yards. Burita with the 114. Telvin Coleman, this is his first game in a couple games. He sat out the last 2 games, and he looked good. 16 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. But as much as we want to sit here and say the 49ers, they're not legit, it's not real, they're 4-0. And along with the New England Patriots, they are the only other undefeated team in the NFL. So we hopefully will have that opportunity to knock them off on Sunday. It is a very important game for the Rams. And as we kind of broke down their identity, which was running the football, an aggressive D front, which created turnovers. We saw Richard Sherman with another interception and a handful of pass deflects. But the Rams still trying to figure out their identity. Again, Sean McVay was asked about it. What's up with the run game? Talk to me. What is going on? Here's Sean McVay addressing how the run game has been a part of the season so far. And really, it's hard to look at it and understand that that is who we are as a team yet. So here's Sean McVay talking about the running game and looking to get it back on track.
I think, you know, each of the games, you know, when you really look at it, you got a chance in the first two games to get, you know, about 30 plus attempts. Let's say you get about 32 and then 30 against the Saints, you know, like 24 against the Browns. And then the Tampa game is such an outlier because you fall behind. You're really almost in two-minute mode the majority of the game, even though we ended up catching back up. So you get so skewed on the numbers there, Lindsay, where it's like a 68-11 balance. And then, you know, we started out the other day where we wanted to be able to run the football. And then I do think there's an element of things can get a little bit off in terms of your run-pass balance because you end up having two-minute situations for us at the end of the half where that ends up being about 8-10 plays where you're pretty much, for the most part, throwing the football. And then when you get into it at the end of the game where really, like you asked me after the game, you know, with 2.5 minutes left, you could debate, all right, do you really jump into two-minute mode? Well, we did, so that ended up representing two drives where we end up turning it over and then getting the ball back where you're on the -7. So there ends up being about 20-plus snaps that account for where you're mostly throwing it based on the situation. So to answer your question, I think there's been some games that we've gotten it going. Definitely want to be able to be committed to that. But I think part of it is, too, continuing to find our identity for the 2019 team. You know, we've got some continuity at some spots, but we're also figuring out what's the best way to handle different things, accentuate our players' skill sets, whether that be the interior of the line, our backs, things like that. So it's something that we're continuing to evaluate, and you know, that's going to be a focal point for us on these next 11 games.
Well, he talks about finding continuity on this offense, and that is what is going to be the focus for these next 11 games. That it's got to be, because right now, if you ask what is the identity of this Rams offense, you're going to say throwing the football left and right. Turnover seems to be our identity right now. Again, we mentioned it earlier, 11 turnovers so far, leads the NFL in that right now. Not a good category to lead the NFL. You got Todd Gurley in the backfield. We got to get back to the things that we did last year, which was pound the football, set up the play action, let Jared Goff throw it deep down the field, and use those three wide receivers. And now looking at it, using these tight ends, which is exciting, our offense should be opening up. We've got Daryl Henderson, an exciting back that we've seen nothing of yet so far. Sean McVay also talked about him at a certain point earlier in the week and talked about, you know, at some point they need to get him in the mix. They've got to find a way between all the offense weapons they have, but they've got to get him opportunity. They went up and drafted him in that third round. I expect to see a very heavy run attack. The Browns early in this game tried to get that going. Baker just kept turning the ball over. It wasn't really setting them up. Nick Chubb had a really good yards per carry. I think it was over 5 yards per carry. 16 carries, 87 yards, a long of 37. They were working the ground game, but just like the Rams all season, they kind of got a little carried away with turnovers, with letting Baker go run this offense, and then they were behind. They were down 21-3 at halftime. You got to come out. They changed out the way that their offense was running. They never got to get back to the running the football. So look for the Rams to come into this game and finally put a game plan together, which includes a lot of Todd Gurley. I'd love to see some more Malcolm Brown. We saw a first half of running the football. You got to see two halves of running the football. Hopefully, you know, like Sean McVay said, some of those two-minute warning situations and, you know, handful of plays stack up. At the end of the day, we need to see some carries over the 20, 25, 28, 30 range would be awesome. I don't want to get too carried away early right now, but we got to run that rock because looking at this offense, they're able to do the same thing on the other side of the football. 275 yards rushing for San Francisco. They are going to be watching this tape over and over again, trying to figure out ways to stop Matt Breida, stop George Kittle, stop Jimmy G. And then on the other side, Nick Bosa, that defensive front looked nasty today. They get to the quarterback without having to blitz a lot. I think I heard them say on the broadcast that they are the second to last team in the NFL as far as blitzing, but they just get there with their front. So the Rams protection is going to have to be on par here. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow as we have Brian Peacock from Lockdown 49ers. We're going to do our crossover. I'm going to pick his brain. I'm going to see what he's feeling about this 49ers team now 4-0. 2-0 at home. They are coming here on the road. A huge matchup in the NFC West. It's going to be a great podcast tomorrow, so tune in for that. Go back, check out our Monday edition if you didn't have a chance yet. If you have any questions for us, you know where to find us. LA_RamblingBarrett, Locked On Rams, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. But with that, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time, peace.